This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave.
We have dimmed the lights.
We have.
Before, when we play Lady Gaga's Dance in the Dark, I just thought, you know, it's only appropriate if
we actually dance in the dark.
Yeah, well, semi-dim light because we gotta need to see what's going doing. On. Yeah. I know, the panel lights up, but still, we gotta know what's going on in here.
Yeah, exactly.
So now it looks like mood lighting and it's getting a bit intimate, just you and me, Jay.
Yeah, those rumours about us might be true, Dave.
Yeah, we could be straight and dating. In any case, let's go all the way back to the 80s, and sadly for me it was the 90s as well, when we talk about happy pants.
Well, I think it might have been the 90s for a lot of people, Dave. Like, I think when I was reminiscing about my childhood, so happy pants, everyone knows what happy pants are, right? They're these bright fluoro, like bright colours. They're mishmash of colours chucked together
into
patterns, weird, obscure stuff. I think I had a pair that were like tartanish, maybe. There's like you're wearing a pair, Dave, in a picture that you posted today.
Just so you know, that picture was taken in 1993.
Yeah, 1993. Okay. There you go.
I'm not wearing it right now.
They
have elastic waistbands.
They have an elastic waistband and normally an elastic around the ankles as well. So tight elastic around the ankles. When I was doing research on them, they said that they were originally they were usually made by parents. Like, they were kind of like put together from, you know, whatever they got from the linen store or whatever.
Parents were so productive back in the old days.
Yeah, I know. And that was only the 80s.
And now my mum makes us mee goreng for dinner.
It did also say that they were excessively popular in Australia, which is why I think maybe that's why we went way into the 90s as well, because I remember them. You know, the fond memory of happy pants that I was having in the shower was was to do with when I went to see New Kids on the Block.
Oh, my God.
And that was, it must have been 92.
Would have been 90s, yep.
Yeah, it must have been 92. And I remember wearing my best happy pants.
Oh,
and they
my
were
God.
Fluoro. To New Kids on the Block.
Please say somebody took photos.
No one took photos. See, this is why I've done a better job of getting out of this than you have, Dave, because you've got photographic evidence. It is, like, seriously, they are one of the biggest crimes against fashion ever. They were these really puffy in the legs.
Really big, loose kind of pants.
Yeah.
But my definition of happy pants and what I know to be happy pants was kind of like long baggy shorts that would sit kind of just a bit below your knee, okay? And a lot of 80s fashion have come and gone, Jade. A lot of them have come back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think happy pants will come back with a vengeance?
I don't think they should. And this, see, that was one of the things that started.
A lot of things from the 80s shouldn't be coming back, but yet they do, Jade.
That's what was getting to me. I was like, what's with all these kids? The fashion from the 80s and the 90s, it's terrible. It's like the early 90s onwards, right?
Mm. But when
it was terrible the first time round. We don't put it on the fashion merry-go-round and bring it back again. It's wrong.
Can I just say though, Jade, our attitudes towards pants and what is acceptable, you know, in pants fashion has changed a lot.
Yep.
I think it's also gone very subdued. You know, a lot of people wear jeans these days, and there's only so many colors you can do with jeans. But in the more recent years, like I think in the last maybe 3 to 4 years, colors have come back to our bottoms.
Yes, I've noticed pants, the skinny jeans in
skinny
color.
Skinny jeans in color. People are wearing bolder pants, pants with prints. The really eclectic kind of indie kids, you know, the ones I'm talking about, they probably hang out at Brunswick or Smith Street. They've got really cool pants. They were probably found in an op shop or, I don't know, paid too much at Dangerfield.
Yeah, raided their parents.
Raided their parents' wardrobe. No, I know nothing in a Lim household is worth raiding, trust me. Okay. Judging by what my mum dressed me in 93, look, I just think that she got it all wrong from a very early age. And
well, see, we went from, we had like really high pants, like even jeans, right? The really high pants.
That's coming back?
That's coming back. Gross. Then they had.
Okay, what's gross about that, Jade?
This because is like it's up against your.
So you think it's uncomfortable to have high-waisted jeans?
Yeah, I would like a nice middle ground. I like, you know, I guess the thing at the moment is that there's a lot of low-cut stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of at all.
Low-cut presents a lot of dangers. I mean, if you've got nice underwear, great. But if your underwear is nowhere in sight,
well,
honey, you're dealing crap.
It has had to. Having the low. The low-cut jeans has meant that there's been like this bigger emphasis on underwear and making sure you've got the right underwear. So it kind of – but
so if you bring back happy pants, Jade.
Yeah.
See,
there's no need for fancy underwear when you've got happy pants on. They're all the attention you
trust need. Me, no one will be looking for your underwear. I would be interested though, if I'm being honest here, if they brought back really nice patterns and nice colours in good quality material – and don't charge me too much for it. I can be persuaded to do happy pants.
You think so?
I can be persuaded. But then I have to redo my whole wardrobe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look quirky, you want to do colour, do colour, do it bold. You know, my wardrobe's very kind of greyish sometimes, very, very muted tones. Mm-hmm. And then other times you'll be going through my wardrobe, Jade, neutral colours, and then bang, that's a skin tight salmon coloured top.
But there's nothing subtle at all about happy pants, though.
There's
Dave.
Nothing subtle about my personality. So I think it, you know, could go with my whole look and my
so
image.
So you're going to bring back the happy pants single-handedly. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, if Mama Lim gets the fabric from Limcraft... You know her eye for fashion and how kitsch it is. So.
Well, I mean, when I was reading about how apparently it was homemade, I don't remember my mum actually making them for me. I remember that there was actually the name brand ones and
Happy Pants.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what the names of the brands were, but I remember they were actual name brand ones you could wear.
Oh, my God.
And then they had like the synthetic ones that, you know, were
imagine
fluoro.
This.
And the swoosh, swoosh. Noise when you it would move.
When you were walking?
Yeah.
Imagine this though, Jade. Designer happy pants. Dolce and Gabbana happy pants.
Gaga would get away with wearing them.
Gaga doesn't wear pants, okay? So happy pants would be a step back for her.
But you know who was the most famous happy pants wearer?
Oh.
MC Hammer.
They're not happy pants, are they?
They were.
The silver parachute pants.
And he had like, he'd wear happy pants as well. He had those mishmash looking ones as well.
What about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah, definitely Fresh. Anyone who was like around in that weird era that we want to all forget about. New Kids on the Block would wear them.
They were ambassadors of happy pants.
Yeah. That's why I wore my best happy pants to the New Kids on the Block concert.
Oh, God, Jade. So... technically, they reformed about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you went to that concert in your happy pants expecting that they would maybe show up on stage with them? How left out would you
have? Well, you know, it's funny, Dave. When they did start saying they were going to tour again, they were actually going to come here and they cancelled because of bad ticket sales. I had actually contemplated the idea of going, but when I saw that how expensive the tickets were, I was like, not worth it. Aww. But, you know, because, you know, sometimes you want to go back.
You want to go back.
And look at things and go.
And take it step by step. Ooh, baby.
Exactly.
You're not going to sing the whole chorus.
I've been known to burst out into New Kids on the Block songs.
I've never heard you burst out into New Kids on the Block.
Oh, okay.
We've been doing this show for how many years now?
I don't want to do it.
There seems to be more you know, crossover from my side.
I'm all about no evidence whatsoever. So if I'm seeing...
Hide the embarrassment. Yeah,
I'll hide it within the, you know, privacy of my own home.
And in your shower.
Yes.
So when you're thinking about Happy Pants, you can sing that New Kids on the Block song.
Exactly. And I've got the moves down and everything.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, it was our friend, that boy James from Twitter, right, who suggested this album?
Absolutely. So it's Marina and the Diamonds' new album, The Family Jewels. And I always feel like, God, Jade, this is not my place to do this. It's an indie pop album.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't I have Monica's new album to review instead? You do remember Monica, right?
I do. Yes. She was around at the same time as Brandy.
Yeah. To Australian listeners, that's all she'll ever be, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could have gone for that album, but instead, here we are.
Yeah.
Doing an album in the blend for an indie pop album.
Yeah.
And to give you a bit of background, Jade, so she is a Welsh singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She's been tipped as one of the biggest acts to come out of 2010. Mm-hmm. One to watch out for, definitely.
Oh, okay, so she's on the hit list.
She's on the hit list alongside Ellie Goulding, who's this other chick from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But I frankly prefer Marina and the Diamonds.
Okay.
I don't know if you've come across Ellie Goulding before.
No.
Kind of bland, strummy la-la kind of music.
Yeah. You've got to, you know, just plain bland, strummy la-la is just so, you know,
And the worst thing is...
You've got to mix it up now.
You got to mix it up. The worst thing is she's a pop artist trying to do strummy la-la and doing it really blandly. No.
It was really... it's funny that you mentioned that, Dave, because on the weekend I was actually doing... I actually filled in on Three Chords and the Truth. They had me doing strummy la-la special.
Isn't it always... Strummy Lala and Three Chords in a Truth?
Well, apparently not. But really? So they had come to me because they said that you had been telling everyone that I was the queen of Strummy Lala. My reputation has preceded me. And that we were actually talking about the idea of pop artists who then go backwards and try and do Strummy Lala.
Sometimes it works.
Sometimes it does work.
And look, the thing about Marina and the Diamonds is that she's got a very interesting sound.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fan of Regina Spektor,
mm-hmm.
if you're a fan of Kate Miller-Heidke, that kind of theatrical, quirky vocals, you're going to like her. So, and here's the thing I discovered as well. Contrary to popular belief, Marina and the Diamonds, they're not a band. Mm-hmm. It's just her.
Yep.
Her real name is Marina Diamondis. So she's Greek.
Yeah.
So the rough translation of her surname is Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So thus, Marina and the Diamonds.
Yep.
But do you think it works better if you make yourself sound like you're a band?
Well,
do you think it's easier to succeed because there's so many solo female acts out there?
Chris Carrabba of Dashboard Confessional did that too. Like he has a band now, but initially it was just him.
Didn't work?
No, I think it did work. I think if you want to have... It, you know, because the cool thing about having a band and being indie, right, is coming out with a cool indie band name, right? You don't want to just be your boring name.
That's true, unless you come up with a nice theatrical name.
Exactly.
But like Ryan Tedder from One Republic, he's the main songwriter behind it all. He's been writing songs and he's a solo artist sometimes. But, you know, he broke through with One Republic when he got a band behind him.
Yeah.
Really strange. Really strange how that works. And... Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah.
Why have one person in a group when you can have five other talentless hags surrounding that one?
Yeah, if it was just her trying to sing on her own, it wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work because it would be too obvious that she's good. But if you put bad people around her to kind of jazz it up a bit, you know, she would look spectacular.
Just to dance around in the background and pout.
Yeah, and to lift their leg up to their ears.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Can they do doo-doos or like anything like that, you know?
What's a doo-doo, Jay?
You know, like
enlighten me.
You know, doo-doo-doo. Like in the background.
Oh, like harmonies?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. If they turn their mics on.
Yeah. Is la la la's? No.
No, if the stage manager turns on their mics, yeah, maybe.
Can't even keep in tune for those.
Don't know. I'm sure Marina Anna Diamonds has no trouble keeping in tune.
Yeah.
She's a singer-songwriter, so she's got this very kind of boppy kind of piano sound happening. So mm-hmm. sometimes it's a little Regina like that, mm-hmm. and then other times it's more kind of like new wavy. It's got that kind of jaunt happening.
Yep.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, we just love to trawl the interwebs.
We love social networking websites.
Yeah, it's our favourite thing.
Favourite thing to waste our time with.
And we say we're researching for our show.
Yeah, we say we're doing work, but really we're just stuck on Facebook. We're just stuck on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're only human.
Yeah.
But this social networking website, Jade, it's meant to be, you can actually say you're doing something for your career.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a highbrow kind of productive social networking work.
Yeah. So what is it? It's called LinkedIn. It is kind of similar to Facebook without kind of, you know, people don't post their pictures and
their drunken weekend escapades.
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't call it social. Like, that's the thing about, you know, it's called a social networking site, but I don't know that it's necessarily a social thing. It's more about business or career-based stuff. So, I mean, on my personal one, I use it mainly. The people I'm connected with are people I've worked with, but I'm not necessarily friends with.
Okay. So the idea is you can upload your resume on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You can have, well, people you worked with recommend you,
mm-hmm.
like, to future employers?
What happens?
Prospective employers, yes. Do they browse?
So you basically, you create a profile that's very, you know, it's like Facebook, except you don't say, what are my favourite things, all that kind of stuff. It's more like, these are the jobs I've had, so it's resume-ish, these are my areas of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you connect to people who have worked in the same organisation as you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our connection on a work level is through Joy. We could connect to each other through that. And then you can also connect to anyone that you've ever worked with.
Mm.
So you can look them up. And then, you know, I've got connections on my actual list that are people that I might have worked with who are contractors working for another organisation that has worked with me at my company.
Oh.
And how it works is you can actually do a you can use that to find other people that you want to get connected to.
Okay.
And you can use it to research companies as well. So, you know, if there's a particular – this is why it's probably – you know, we were having a chat off air about whether it's applicable to anyone, you know, if you're a fast food employee or if you're a tradie or whatever.
Because, yeah, if your experience is just that I've worked at Macca's or Hungry Jack's.
Yeah.
Do you need LinkedIn?
it depends on what career move you're looking to make. Now,
I'm thinking of going from kitchen to front counter.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. It's more like a professional services
corporate.
Type. Yeah, if you're looking for a corporate, you know, government, type job, commercial sector.
What about media? Like, we're media, both in the media.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's why, obviously, when I joined initially, as you all know, Dave, working in media is a lot about networking.
It's about who you know.
It's about who you know. A lot of jobs, it's very difficult to get in. A lot of jobs aren't necessarily advertised. So that's kind of where it comes in to be important. So you can research, you know, through your connections, you can find out companies and organisations that might be good to work for, and then you can approach them directly for jobs.
Oh.
And you might find that you've got an in with someone through those things. So, you know, I've seen people use it, you know, kind of say quite openly to people. You can email anyone, right, if you've got their business email address and ask them to join and connect with you on LinkedIn. So even if they're not on LinkedIn. So I guess you have to encourage them to join as part of
it. And they have to set up a profile and everything.
Yeah, so you can, but I have found it quite useful in terms of working in an industry that's quite closed and difficult to maneuver around to see, these are the types of jobs that are out there, these are the types of companies, you know, just learning a bit more about the way the industry works.
I think it's good, like you said, on a, you know, networking level.
Yeah.
And it's just about time someone did something like that because, yeah. you know, stuff like Facebook and all that, you know, like with the mutual friends and all that,
mm-hmm.
it's always helpful when you know someone who knows someone
yeah.
as well, you see. So I can understand that working on the basis of employment because it's always about who you recommend and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So, and I mean, I might just set up a profile.
I mean, I've even had people come. Yeah, exactly. It's good to set up a profile. I've had people come up. Have written to me and said, oh, you know, I've got this contract job, you know, are you interested in interviewing for it? So it does actually work if you're active about using it and making sure things are up to date. Yeah, I found it, I mean, it's not exciting. It's not like,
it's not meant to be fun.
It's not social at all from what I can tell.
It does a job.
You can have groups and stuff that you can join discussions with, you know. So obviously we're working, you know, around gay and lesbian media. We can have, there is a group for gay and lesbian media people. You can join that.
Mm.
You know, you can get really specific like that.
Or you can just put your resume and your experience exactly. up there. And network with people you know and hope you land a job like that.
Go find random people that you worked with once and see how they can help you with a job.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.